This is Ed Mazur, chairman of the City Club of Chicago. Our speaker today was the executive director of the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning, known as CMAP, Joseph Szabo. Joe heads a planning board that has 15 members, 5 representing Chicago, 5 suburban Cook, and 5 Collar counties. Just this week, they announced, after 3 years of research and analysis, their new plan called Onto 2050. This is a new comprehensive regional plan to assist the 7 counties and 284 communities of northeastern Illinois to implement strategies that address transportation, housing, economic development, open space, the environment, and other quality of life issues. The theme of Joe's address was Seizing Our Destiny. Don't leave the future to chance. Joe talked about significant changes in Chicagoland in the last 10 years. These challenges will demand long-term solutions, new approaches to fiscal problems, and dealing with an aging infrastructures. CMAP interviewed more than 100,000 area residents and developed 3 principles. 1, inclusive growth, economic opportunity for all. 2, resilience, to prepare for expected as well as unexpected changes. And 3, prioritize investments in an age of limited financial resources. He talked about resilience, how systems must respond to ever-accelerating change, including climate, weather, and flooding. Prioritization, the need to deal with declining federal and state fundings. New approaches to dealing with regional transport, water, rail, and air, and need to coordinate broadly between all of the 284 communities to maximize investment in travel, housing, and jobs. 5 key recommendations. 1, strengthen where we live. 2, grow the economy. 3, get the environment under control for climate change. 4, enhance government collaboration, data-driven. And 5, mobility. The system will have to adapt to changing travel demands. His final message to the audience, communities must discover what they care about to prepare for change.
Well, thank you, Ed, and it's great to be back here at the City Club. As Ed indicated, this is an annual visit for us. CMAP has been engaged over the last 3-plus years in our preparation for our comprehensive plan. It's a big 3-year process. It's done once every decade. And so it was really good to come by here and kind of check in once a year with the status reports, get the feedback as we put the plan together, which was adopted last week. Before I start, I know Ed recognized several of the transportation folks in the room, but I did notice there was a couple from Metra that I at least want to recognize. The chairman of Metra, Norm Carlson, and the executive director, Jim Derwinski. And given that I once punched tickets on that railroad and first met Norm when I was an 18-year-old back in, I would have been a 19-year-old because it was 1977. Yeah. But anyway, the transportation providers are all important partners of us at CMAP, so it's great to see so many of you here today. Several of our board members are here. We have a 15-member board, 5 from the city of Chicago, 5 from suburban Cook, and 5 from the collar counties, and several of our board members are here today. Our vice chair, Rita Athis, is with us. Rita. Representing the city of Chicago, we have Frank Beal with us. Representing Will County, the mayor of Romeoville, John Noak. Is John in the crowd? No, I know he was RSVP'd, but the mayor of Montgomery, Matt Brawley, representing Kane and Kendall counties. And Diane Williams, who's on the village board in the South Suburban Community of Flossmoor, representing suburban Cook. So, Diane. And also, several of the CMAP staff are here with us this afternoon. I'm not going to go through the long list, but, you know, I really want to recognize all of them, and I will ask them to stand in a moment. But it's really their hard work over the last 3 years that allowed this plan to come together. The technical staff that we had that were really digging into the issues and doing the deep analysis and writing the strategy papers, and then our communications team, which was responsible for the big launch event in Millennium Park last week, where we had 1,200 people registered in under a big tent when the rain came. But it's these professionals that really are the ones that are serving the 8.5 million people of this region every single day. So if the CMAP staff in the room would stand, please, and be recognized. And if you hit me with too many hard questions, I'm going to make them come up here to answer them. I had the quote of Jack Welch up there while we were having lunch because I really wanted to emphasize this theme of seizing our destiny. And Chicagoland and our region has a tradition of seizing our destiny rather than allowing the future to be left to chance. You go back in history, our leaders had the vision to embrace the emerging transportation technology of the 1850s, the railroad, and that allowed us to establish ourselves as North America's preeminent transportation hub. And because of that, our economic growth quickly followed. Birth was given right here to the mail order business. Montgomery Ward's and Sears and Roebuck, right here in Chicago, became the Amazon of their time. And as emerging transportation technology evolved and advanced to air, we ensured that Midway Airport first and then O'Hare Airport became the dominant hub in the nation's aviation system. And so as a region, we've never left our future to chance. We identify trends and challenges and then plot a course for the future. Over the last decade, our region has experienced significant economic, technological, environmental, and fiscal changes. Our economic growth has slowed and not kept pace with our peer regions. And the future is going to bring to us even more substantial shifts. By many measures, our progress has stalled for reasons that are complex, but by no means irreversible. And the toughest challenges require long-term solutions. Seldom is there ever a quick fix. But by collaborating together, we have the strength to ensure that Chicagoland continues in our status as the global center of commerce. We have to rebuild aging infrastructure at a time when travel patterns are changing. Uncertainties about the state's fiscal condition and federal priorities mean that in many cases, we're going to have to fund our own needs. So to thrive, we're going to have to build on our many, many assets in the region and be prepared to take advantage of future change. By being systematic in our approach, we can make tangible progress towards broad, lasting prosperity and quality of life. That's why the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning exists, and that's why our board last week adopted onto 2050 the new comprehensive plan for the region. In developing this plan, we spent nearly 3 years working with our partners. We conducted extensive research. We wrote strategy papers and engaged more than 100,000 residents from every corner of the seven-county region. And the goal was to really understand our residents' needs, their fears, their desires. And it was through this process that we were able to identify three overarching principles for the plan. The first one, inclusive growth. Grow our economy through economic opportunity for all residents. Second principle, resilience. Prepare for rapid changes, both known and unknown. And the third guiding principle, prioritize investment. Carefully target resources to maximize their benefits. These three principles inform every recommendation in Onto 2050's five chapters of community, prosperity, environment, governance, and mobility. So let's talk about the first one, inclusive growth. Regions that offer economic opportunity for all, regardless of race, income, or background, enjoy longer, stronger periods of prosperity and fewer, shorter periods of economic stagnation. And despite our many enviable assets, we're failing to ensure economic opportunity for all of our residents. And the analysis shows that this is stunting our economic growth. To compete globally, we can't afford to have any of our assets on the sidelines. We need the full potential, the strength of all of our workers and businesses and communities. Currently, too much of our human capital, the talents and skills of these excluded residents, is being wasted. And by many measures, race and ethnicity are barriers to success. And our region's particularly falling short compared to our peers in terms of education, employment, and income. Inequity exists when the location of someone's home, their race, their ethnicity, or socioeconomic status determine their economic success, their health, and their overall quality of life. By promoting inclusive growth through strategic investments and other well-defined strategies, we can disrupt these patterns and make our region stronger in the long run and more equitable. Through concerted steps, we can help ensure that every resident and community across the seven counties can fully contribute to and benefit from the economy. And paired with other strategies to capitalize on the region's economic assets, inclusive economic initiatives can help restart our long-term growth, strengthen our role in global competition, and increase prosperity across the region. Quite simply, this is about opening doors in communities where opportunity hasn't knocked for generations. Let's talk about principle number two, resilience. To remain strong, our future will require communities, infrastructure, and systems that can thrive in the face of rapid change, whether it's environmental, economic, or technological, just to name a few. Change and shocks and stressors are going to continue to hit our communities at an ever-accelerating pace. So through more adaptable infrastructure, natural systems, and revenue streams, our communities can better recover from these chronic stresses. We're going to have to prepare to rebound quickly from weather events, including stronger storms and more frequent flooding. Infrastructure is going to have to be designed to resist extreme temperatures, to mitigate flooding, and ensure reliability in all seasons, regardless of changing weather patterns. Communities are going to need the capacity, the revenues, the staff, the equipment, and other resources to effectively meet residents' needs as change continues to accelerate. By pooling resources and deploying new technologies and training staff, resilient municipalities can provide essential services even as federal and state support remains unreliable. By working together to achieve economic resilience, our communities can also prepare for inevitable challenges as global markets and technologies spur transition to new types of work in emerging industries. Now, funding from the state and federal government, of course, is going to have to continue to play a crucial role in our region's needs, but it's going to be a quite uncertain one. And so any failure to prepare for self-help will be at our own peril. And so the strategies proposed in ONTO 2050 will help our region and its 284 communities achieve a higher state of resiliency to best prepare for an ever uncertain future. So the third principle, prioritize investment. At a time when federal and state funding consistently falls short of the region's needs, we have to ensure prioritize investment for infrastructure, for development, and the economy to maximize benefits from these limited funds. For decades, the funding of public services and infrastructure at all levels of government has been stagnant, and yet costs continue to rise. And so the most effective approach is to make better use of the infrastructure that we have. We have to maintain and modernize existing systems first before considering any expansion. And our highest priority has to be to address the vast backlog of transportation, water, and other infrastructure in need of repair or replacement. We owe it to the public to use these limited dollars very, very wisely. Local governments are receiving significantly fewer dollars from the state of Illinois compared to 20 years ago. And with that trend likely to continue, We have to achieve our own cost savings by improving how assets are managed, accelerate how projects are completed, and give communities more options to raise revenues. Onto 2050 identifies a number of alternatives to our state and region's antiquated sources of revenues. A modern transportation system, one whose needs will continually shift due to emerging technologies, is going to require modern funding techniques and methods that are sustainable, flexible, and most importantly, multimodal. Coordinating investment broadly, linking transportation with housing, or targeting public expenditures to attract private resources is going to be essential. Above all, prioritized investment will require close coordination across implementing agencies and ensurance that projects are selected transparently based on clear and measurable objectives. So as the first comprehensive plan for a region of seven counties in 8 years, I should say, the comprehensive plan for our seven counties and 284 communities, onto 2050's recommendations are many. They're vast. There's a long list of them. But rather than read through the dozens of strategic actions, I thought it'd be best to put a face to the plan through the stories of some of our residents. Onto 2050 profiles more than 20 people who embody why the plan matters and what we need to accomplish across the five chapters of community, prosperity, environment, governance, and mobility. So by selecting a few of them and telling their stories, I think you'll better understand why implementation is personal to the people of our region. So the first chapter is community. Strategic and sustainable development. Reinvestment for vibrant communities, and development that supports local and regional economic strength. These are the community goals for Onto 2050. All of our residents need access to jobs, to housing, to transportation, and to the amenities that are essential to quality of life. And yet, every resident will face some type of challenge or challenges, sometimes beyond their own control, but certainly within our ability to better plan for. And so let me tell you the story about Heather and Garland Armstrong. Many of you in the audience may recognize Heather and Garland. Certainly CMAP staff does, because they're mainstays at all of our CMAP meetings and many of the other public agencies. They're tireless advocates for the disability community, and they really epitomize citizen engagement. But what might be a convenience for me, like having a grocery store within walking distance to my home, takes on an added sense of urgency for them. For Heather and Garland, a doctor's appointment takes careful planning. As a disabled couple, they have to research train and bus times. They have to map out their transfer points and contact paratransit services just to get where they need to go. And they'll tell you, it's frustrating. It can take them hours to reach their destinations. Sometimes Garland has to push Heather's wheelchair in the street because there isn't a sidewalk available. Sometimes they get stranded because they can't find a wheelchair-accessible taxi. And these circumstances are compelling, but they serve as a microcosm of the type of challenge, in one extent or another, that any citizen could face. And these can be addressed for the benefit of all throughout the region. Heather, Garland, and our other residents can benefit from the plan's recommendations to support development of compact, walkable communities and to target infill, infrastructure, and natural area investments. Next chapter, prosperity. A robust economic growth that reduces inequality and responsive strategic workforce and economic development. These are the prosperity goals for Onto 2050. So let me tell you about Torres Hughes. Torres is a young man from Chicago's Austin neighborhood. He was on the verge of dropping out of high school, and he knew he was potentially heading down a very dangerous path. And so Torres knew that he had to change his life. And fortunately, he had the opportunity to be exposed to a manufacturing career pathway program that enabled him to get a certification, and after he graduated, a manufacturing job right in his community. And that company then paid for his continued training, which resulted in his advancement and the chance to manage other workers. It allowed Torres to feel like an asset, like a dignified human being, instead of just a number. And for Torres, he'll tell you these experiences were life-changing, but he knows so many other people in his local community that needs and deserve these types of opportunities. All of our residents deserve the opportunity to reach their full potential. And so to achieve this, Onto 2050 recommends to prioritize pathways for upward economic mobility and to conduct regional planning for human capital. Our third chapter, the environment. A region better prepared for climate change. An integrated approach to water resources and development practices that protect natural resources. These are the environment goals for Onto 2050. So I'll tell you about Cheryl Watson. Cheryl is a 63-year-old who's nearing retirement, and she wants to stay in her home. It's a historic bungalow in the Chatham neighborhood. It's where she grew up. It's where she took care of her aging parents. But decades of flooding have taken a toll, and with the storms each year becoming more frequent and more intense. And Cheryl will call it a wound to her spirit to see what has happened to her home and her neighborhood, where patterns of disinvestment contribute to flooding and stormwater issues. So she's become a community-based advocate, educating her neighbors on how to protect their homes from rising water. But they can't do it all, and they can't do it all on their own. And so Onto 2050 recommends strategies for how we can plan for climate resilience. And among the Onto 2050 recommendations that would support Cheryl and residents across the entire region are to intensify climate mitigation efforts and to reduce flood risk to protect people and assets. Fourth chapter, governance. Collaboration at all levels of government, capacity of government to provide strong quality of life, and data-driven and transparent investment decisions. These are the governance goals of Onto 2050. So I'll tell you the story of Beach Park Village Manager John Kinseth, who is tired of seeing his community lose business to larger, more established retail markets. And so John figured it out. He could no longer go solo. Beach Park could no longer do it on their own. And so he had the wisdom to join forces with the leaders of neighboring communities, Winthrop Harbor and Zion, to hire a shared economic development coordinator. And so no longer do they now compete against each other, giving away tax incentives in a race to the bottom. Now all three of the villages share and benefit from any sales tax that's earned by the new businesses that the new coordinator generates. And while this is a relatively new idea in our region, it's one that's being used successfully in other parts of the country because it creates a win-win for everybody and tangible benefits for the public. John's village also contracts some of the services, such as police or animal control, with the county or the township, while services like snow plowing and street sweeping are shared amongst neighboring communities. Sharing services allows governments to reduce operating costs, to retain their unique identities as communities, but most importantly, it saves taxpayers money. And so John's story epitomizes the importance of Onto 2050 and the recommendations to encourage partnerships and consolidation and to build local capacity. Fifth chapter, mobility. A modern multimodal system that adapts to changing travel demand, a system that works better for everyone, and making transformative investments. These are the mobility goals for Onto 2050. So I'll tell you the story of Amarita Falcon, a young college graduate who sometimes spends more than 4 hours a day commuting between her South Suburban home and her job in Chicago. Without a car, every day she has to juggle a complicated and expensive combination of buses and transfers and trains. And she'll tell you it's draining. And if she misses a connection or a bus is late, she can lose her job. And Amarita will remind you that not everybody has the ability to live closer to their job, and that some parts of our region are better connected than others. And so having better links to jobs can lift economically disinvested communities and the region overall. So Onto 2050 recommends strategies to leverage the transportation network to promote inclusive growth and to make transit more competitive. So as I said at the opening, our region has never left our future to chance. We have that history of identifying the trends and challenges and plotting a course for success. Change is coming, and it's coming rapidly, as the future promises substantial shifts. And so how do we ensure that this change leads to the success that we desire? The voices of the more than 100,000 residents we engaged during the drafting of Onto 2050 made me think of this quote from Margaret Wheatley. "There is no power for change greater than a community discovering what it cares about." Onto 2050's three principles of inclusive growth, resilience, and prioritized investment point our way forward. So you'll receive an executive summary today of the plan as you leave. But I really encourage you to spend time over and above the executive summary. Read the full plan. It's available online. It is web-based. It's the first time that's been done. The full document is completely a web-based document. It's available at www.cmap.illinois.gov/onto2050. Read it and get involved, because everybody has a role. There is work for all of us to do. It was Helen Keller that said, "Alone, we can do so little, but together, we can do so much." And I think these are words for our region to live by as we seize our destiny. And so with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Joe, thank you very much. Would you like a little bit of water?
Have we got one down here?
Sure.
That's right. Don't worry about it. Scratchy throat.
Scratchy throat.
Thank you.
You're not the only one with a scratchy throat. Okay, if we have questions, just hold up your... Hey, we have one right down here. Thank you. And our staff will come around and collect your questions. Ah, from my friend Harvin Singh with Singh and Associates. On to 2050 is a dynamic and pragmatic report about our future. Do we as a region / society have the will to take on these recommendations? If we as a community cannot come together to actualize these recommendations, what will the future look like? Joe, the old crystal ball.
Yeah. So first off, I would say that we can and we will, and certainly we must make sure that it's implemented, because our very future, our economic prosperity of this region as a whole, counts on us coming together. And CMAP has already pivoted towards implementation. One of the things I announced last week was a couple of grants that we received, $500,000 from the MacArthur Foundation, $200,000 from Chicago Community Trust that we're also sharing with the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus and the Municipal Planning Council on helping build capacity for our capacity-constrained municipalities. You know, we will actually go in now in some of these more challenged communities and implant staff for a sustained period of time, for up to a couple of years. This isn't, you know, just hit and leave. And it's completely about empowering them, not doing for them, not trying to be the outsiders that come in and tell you what you need to do in your town, but actually getting in there and better understanding what are the particular challenges that that municipality has, and then help them define the steps that they need to take moving forward, and us help tap the resources that they need to make implementation reality. Over the course of the year, you'll see us rolling out a series of what we're calling campaigns on how we will look to generate a cross-section of support from so many of the stakeholders, from all of the stakeholders, to make sure that in a focused way that we're engaging in making a difference and implementing the strategies that are laid out in our plan. And I would also say it's important that the committees that we have that are made up of a cross-section of the civic fabric of our region were a critical part in helping us draft the plan. And so these folks from the other agencies and organizations are itching to get going. And so we're ready to move. We're going to make a difference.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. This is from City Club member Tom Kotarek, who's with the Civic Committee of the Commercial Club of Chicago. Tom, we're glad. It's a good question. There's a lot of talk about a new capital bill in Springfield. What should a new capital bill invest in? And how should we pay for it?
Well, thank you, Tom. As my former deputy, before you moved on to, before moving on to bigger and better things. But good to see you, and thank you for the question. So to me, it's critical that as we take a look at a new revenue bill, that we move beyond the Band-Aids that we have used in the past. It's why we're in the tremendous hole that we're in today. Our analysis shows that we have a $24 billion shortfall over the next 32 years to simply maintain the transportation system that we have today in the condition it's in today. So if you want to talk about achieving any level of state of good repair, we need more than that $24 billion that we're already short. And then if you want to start talking about a prioritized list of limited expansion, we're going to need more than that $24 billion that we're already short. And so we've got to move beyond a Band-Aid to an approach that is completely sustainable for the long haul, that is flexible, and it's got to be multimodal, because the transportation system over the next 32 years is going to evolve. We probably don't even know as we stand here today what some of the modes might be. And so it'd be incredibly foolish to put into place a fix that is locked in to the existing modes. There's got to be flexibility to allow prioritized investment, good analysis to allow for the investment in the best projects that give the best results to the public. Gas tax, I hate to say it, and this is controversial, but it is an antiquated approach that is rapidly dying, and as technology continues to evolve, will soon be dead. And so to try and put our eggs in that basket other than a quick short-term fix would be incredibly foolish. If we're going to have the political will, we are going to have to go with user fees. That's what a gas tax is, or at least that's what a gas tax was originally established to be, but it's no longer appropriate. And so there's going to have to be user fees, things like vehicle miles traveled, VMT. Again, a political hot potato right now, but there are ways that we can meet the concerns that the public has over privacy. There are ways to make sure this is done in a way that is equitable and understands the difference between rural and urban environment. And I think equally as important, perhaps more so, takes into consideration the needs of the poor and making sure that we're not putting an undue burden on them. But this can be addressed. And so moving forward with pilot projects, as so many other states and regions have done, and testing the waters on these things, fine-tuning it, it's the only viable approach for the long term.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Joe, 3 weeks from today, we're going to have an election in the state of Illinois, and we will elect either a new governor or re-elect the incumbent governor. Do you anticipate whoever wins, there will be a meaningful transportation and infrastructure bill coming out of Springfield in the next year?
So I think it depends on us demanding it and us coming together as a region. Listen, we've got to be speaking with a unified voice. We've got to be clear on the approach that needs to take. There can't be deviations on it. This region that I talk about, the seven counties, the 284 communities, the 8.5 million people, we represent 72% of the population of this state. And so when we are unified, very hard to do, but when we are unified in our voice, we leverage tremendous power. And so coming together, focusing on the recommendations. Listen, when we put these into place, we do complete, unbiased, impartial analysis. We stay an arm's length away from any politics and really try and come forward in a completely impartial manner with what we believe are the best recommendations for the region. And so unifying behind what we recommend and moving forward, yes, I think there's political opportunity, but it's going to take all of us speaking with one consistent, clear voice.
Thank you, Joe. Well, that was a tough one. Let me give you one that's pretty difficult also. This is from Stella Black over
Stella.
Here. Your old friend,
my
and neighbor.
Old friend. Current neighbor.
What are the Cubs' chances for next year?
Well, as a lifelong diehard Cub fan, all I can say is wait till next year. It's our year. They'll retool. They'll be fine.
Okay. Thank you. This is from Ryan Bronze from Rockford, Illinois. And he's not a City Club member, but he's given us two questions. Ryan, this is an introductory plan. We're going to ask your two questions, but for $50, you can become a member of the City Club. Tax deductible, by the way. How are you aggregating data across agencies to be data-driven is one question. The second one, did you look at or how do you see the social determinants of health playing a part in 2050?
So to a certain extent, those are a little deeper than a generalist like me can hit. Certainly staff could answer those in greater detail. But we always work to make sure that we have the best data available. And obviously, this is the biggest challenge that everybody has, right? If you're trying to make good, sound, data-driven decisions, it's important that you have access to high-quality data. One area where we're particularly challenged here, we are the rail hub of North America. It's private industry. And so, you know, they're really, really reluctant to share that data. We're doing better than we did 3-4 years ago. We're getting more data. It certainly still isn't as effective as we believe we need to really make sure that we're making the very best investments in improving the safety and fluidity of the rail network because it impacts our region and the nation. But obviously the data that we take in, we're constantly reviewing. I don't know, Liz, do you want to add to that or have I handled that one pretty well? Where are you at, Liz? There you are. Did I cover it? Okay, so the second one, the health, thank you. Thank you. I always like it when I get it right. The second one, the health, and again, you know, clearly we see inequality in health outcomes based on, you know, race, socioeconomic standing, income, and that there are bigger challenges in our disinvested neighborhoods. It's one of the reasons why we're trying to focus so much on the inclusive growth framework to where there is rising ships for everybody and stronger economic opportunity, which in turn strengthens those communities, which in turn improves the health of the people living in those communities. So I'll leave it with that, Liz, unless you want to add something to that one. Yeah. So Liz, by the way, was the primary author of the plan. While it truly was a team effort with all sorts of strategy papers and chapters drafted by a wide range of CMAP staff, she was the one that pulled all the pieces together and made the agency look so good. Yeah.
Thank you, Liz. Thank you very much. Okay, we have a couple last questions here. This is from the Cook County Commission on Social Innovation Director, Mark Loveless, City Club member. Mark, where are you? Back there, okay. He wants to know about the role that small manufacturing fits into the Onto 2050 economic plan.
Yeah. So I didn't go into a great deal of detail in the speech, but certainly in my talking points, I talk about our focus on economic growth and those career pathways. Certainly small business plays an important role. As we take a look at the analysis of jobs and where we're seeing job growth in the region, it's a good news, bad news story. I call it the goalposts, because we are seeing growth in low-wage jobs. And the piece of good news is we are seeing very good growth in high-wage jobs. But the center is completely hollow. And this is those middle-income jobs where you have the opportunity to support middle-class families. This is where our biggest challenge is. And so, yes, our recommendations are about strategically understanding our economic strengths and how we best leverage those into the type of growth that does, in fact, create those career pathways, and the types of jobs that will better support families. We've got great analysis on all this. Again, my technical team could probably talk to you for an hour or two on it, and we're happy to do that if you'd like to sit down.
Great. I think a lot of people are going to be reading that executive summary and going to
read the full report.
The full report. It's online. Remember, first time ever. Okay, we have two last questions here. This is from Bob Israel, City Club member with ETM Engineering. Bob, where are you? Oh, back there. Okay. I'm not sure I understand the question, but maybe you will. What would you advise on the DuPage County referendum to go against implementation of VMT? What is VMT?
Vehicle miles traveled.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we don't get into the politics. It's a dangerous place to be. We're a non-political agency. We work with people of all political stripes. We support whoever's in the governor's office. So we work with our 284 communities. It runs the gamut from the most liberal Democratic to the most conservative Republican. And we have a responsibility to serve all of them with vigor and equally. And so I don't think it's appropriate for me to tell somebody how to vote on a ballot issue. But I will say this. I think the presentation that we make in the plan on why user fees and VMT is the way to go over the long term, I believe, is compelling. And, you have to put a little bit of perspective in this, that we are talking about over a 32-year period. This isn't about flipping a light switch tomorrow and suddenly we're instantly all on VMT. We've got to start some pilots. We need to learn more about this. The public needs to better understand it. They deserve, they have a right to get comfortable in how it can work for them. And I'm comfortable that through pilot projects that can be achieved. And so I don't want to touch a political hot potato, but the inevitability of going here, there's really no way around it.
Wonderfully handled. Now we know why you are at the head of the agency. Terrific, Joe. Final question from Jackie Davidoff, City Club member down here. She's with Davidoff Mission Driven Business Strategies. Her question, how does CMAP move from these principles and vision as expressed in the plan to the actual building of new systems? For example, could you pick one strategic priority, like equity and access to transportation? Describe some of the pathways for making this a reality.
Yeah. So actually, a good one that's already underway, we didn't wait for the adoption of the plan, is some refinements that we made to our STP program, our surface transportation program that funds surface transportation in local communities. Through the competitive pot now, which has newly been established, meeting the needs of disinvested communities has become a priority, and so there's additional points added in there. And so this is one way to make sure that we get funds strategically to good projects that better serve disinvested communities. And then secondly, there's some provisions in there to where with the disadvantaged communities, we'll take care of the match for them, the 20% match. And so, in the past, that's been a pretty high threshold for some of our more challenged communities to meet. For those in the greatest need, that match will be waived. And so this is just a couple of, quick ways that we've immediately moved into it. Our campaigns will be kicking off shortly that will add greater emphasis to many other approaches.
Okay. Joe Szabo and the staff of CMAP, we really appreciate your coming down.